How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the Latest Issues Etc. Journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Shurman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues Etc. Journal, journal@issuesetc.org. Well, the stories just keep rolling out of Susan G. Komen for The Cure. Last week it was withdrawing funding for Planned Parenthood, and then it was restoring funding for Planned Parenthood, and then today losing one of their bright lights over the issue of restoring funding for Planned Parenthood. I wonder, we reflected a little bit on this last week with Terry Mattingly and just the confusion of a lot of the media coverage. Joining us to talk about, well, more confusion in the media coverage, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway. She's a reporter in Washington, D.C. and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me here.
You have written just today a blog post for CNN saying that we, regardless what stage of the story we're at, we are only getting half the story in more than one way. What do you mean?
Yes, well, the mainstream media have covered this story a lot. It's been on all the nightly news broadcasts. It's been in every newspaper. It's gotten heavy coverage from every single media outlet out there. But they have consistently only told half the story, and this can be seen in multiple ways. For one thing, they completely bought hook, line, and sinker Planned Parenthood's PR campaign that stopping funding Planned Parenthood is political. Well, obviously, anyone with half a brain knows that if you start funding Planned Parenthood, that's also political. It's one of the most political organizations out there. It spends millions of dollars on lobbying. It, spends a ton of money electing Democratic candidates and fighting Republican candidates. It performs 330,000 abortions a year. If you do not understand that Planned Parenthood is a controversial organization where people either love it or they hate it, you should not be in journalism. It's just that simple. And yet that was the approach that many in the media took. It's only political to stop funding Planned Parenthood, but it's not political to start funding them in the first place. That, by the way, also, they only told half the story about how the public feels about Komen's relationship with Planned Parenthood. There were many people who felt that they could not, in good conscience, fund Komen so long as Komen was funding Planned Parenthood. It had become a fundraising problem. They only gave Planned Parenthood a few hundred thousand dollars a year, and those grants weren't even going to direct services such as mammograms. So it was a high-cost grant to give to Planned Parenthood when you think of all the people that were unable to give to Komen in response. The media also only got half the reaction, and you can see why. They accurately characterized the outrage from pro-choice activists that Komen dared sully the name of Planned Parenthood. That is something that really happened. You could see that outrage on Twitter, on Facebook, or all these social media sites. People were livid. Yes, they were probably led to that through some rather savvy marketing from Planned Parenthood. What they didn't capture were all the people that were elated by the news that Komen was no longer supporting Planned Parenthood. There were many people who were able to donate to Komen for the first time because they could, in good conscience, now fund an organization because it wasn't funneling money to a group that performs 330,000 abortions a year. This is particularly noticeable when you look at how the media treated females and breast cancer survivors. So you would see people say, there was this notorious interview where Andrea Mitchell basically hammered Komen's CEO and founder, didn't let her get a word in edgewise. And then later the media said, well, you know, she's a breast cancer survivor, so she had the right to assault this Komen CEO. That's laughable. Having breast cancer doesn't mean you support abortion. In fact, one of the women who had actually led the effort to get Planned Parenthood to stop funding Komen is a breast cancer survivor, Charmaine Yost, the head of Americans United for Life. So it's just insulting and sexist. It's misogynistic to claim that women are only allowed to have one position on abortion. The fact is that the country is fairly evenly divided on this topic, and it's evenly divided even when you break it down according to gender. And then the other way that you're seeing half the story is that they're only doing half the investigation. Now, it used to be that the media loved Komen when they were funding Planned Parenthood initially, and it was an organization that could do no wrong. Well, once they got embroiled in this whole mess, all of a sudden, every investigative reporter in the country is now hammering Komen and trying to unveil all this, all these nefarious goings on. The Washington Post yesterday had something where they said Komen spends lavishly on salaries and promotion. And they highlighted that the CEO who founded the group 30 years ago now gets $417,000 a year. They didn't mention that the Planned Parenthood CEO gets $350,000 a year, or that her immediate predecessor got $900,000 a year in 2004, 2005. They don't point out how many more executives at Planned Parenthood, which is actually a very large $1 billion organization, make over $200,000. I mean, it's dozens make over $200,000 a year. So you're seeing half the story. Yes, it's totally fine to go after Komen and investigate whether they're as good a charity as the media always presented them to us as. But you also need to go after Planned Parenthood, too, if you're going to do that. So we're just continually seeing half the story here.
So you say also in a piece for Christianity Today that although it's sad to see Komen fold like this, there is a silver lining to the story because now some things are simply undeniable. What are those things?
Yeah, well, there's are some ways of looking at this as a learning experience for everyone involved. For a long time, pro-life activists were sounding the alarm about the funding of Planned Parenthood by the Susan G. Komen Foundation. It's a very large charity. It's very popular. And a lot of people didn't know that they fund Planned Parenthood. Well, now you'd have to be living under a rock to not know that they are associated with Planned Parenthood. There's a clarity about that. Likewise, there's a clarity about the way that people now understand that the media just are not even in any way trying to hide their affiliation with Planned Parenthood. I mean, there was this interview. Again, it was actually a different interview with Andrea Mitchell, who's supposedly a very respected NBC anchor, reporter, journalist. And after Komen sort of backed down from their initial statement and Planned Parenthood forces were cheering, Mitchell interviewed Senator Barbara Boxer. This is a very, very pro-choice activist senator. She had called for Komen to change its funding policy so that Planned Parenthood could continue to get hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in funding. And in this interview, Barbara Boxer thanks Andrea Mitchell for her previous interview that attacked the Komen group. And then at the end of the interview, Mitchell thanks Boxer for her work on behalf of Planned Parenthood. Now, pro-lifers have long suspected that they are on the outs when it comes to media coverage. You know, they march every year in Washington. Nobody really notices. The coverage is downplayed. Issues of importance to them, such as this HHS mandate that will require some religious groups and individuals to violate their conscience when it comes to sanctity of life issues, has kind of been downplayed for a few weeks. It's starting to get more coverage now. But to have people actually thanking each other for their work on behalf of Planned Parenthood, an organization that, again, does 330,000 abortions a year. It's a very controversial organization. It just ripped the blinders off of it. There's just no way you can pretend that the media were not biased here.
Also, you also mentioned that the particular connection that Planned Parenthood claimed to have with the interests of Komen for the Cure was pretty
right.
thin.
So this has kind of been falling apart over the last year. For a long time, Planned Parenthood, including its CEO, Cecile Richards, had led people to believe that they performed mammograms. Now, in recent years, and in the last year, they've sort of backed off that claim, and that is due in part to some undercover journalism that exposed that Planned Parenthood facilities actually don't offer mammograms. And I think people now have a better understanding, or hopefully they do. There was some bad media coverage on this, too. But they have a better understanding that Planned Parenthood actually doesn't even perform any mammograms. And they only, I think, referred maybe 6,000 women for mammograms, not even that you really need a referral frequently for a mammogram. So 330,000 abortions to maybe they claim 6,000 referrals for mammograms. But they don't actually provide the direct service of mammograms. And so I think that it's certainly true that the mainstream media and Planned Parenthood had a huge victory this week. I really wish we had a media that didn't try to pick winners and losers, but they tried this last week, and they picked Planned Parenthood as the winner, and they picked Komen as the loser and pro-lifers as the losers, and they had a decisive victory this week. But I do sort of wonder about the long-term effect of this. Now, the whole PR campaign that the media tried to push was that Planned Parenthood is apolitical. That's a laugh. That's a total joke. And I think that having that reinforced so well by the Planned Parenthood forces themselves might make things a little bit more difficult for Planned Parenthood in the long run. So I think it'll be interesting to see what some of these effects are and whether people will want to affiliate with Planned Parenthood, knowing that it is the Hotel California of charities where you can check in, but you can never check out. So I think that in a sense, Planned Parenthood has sort of damaged its reputation, at least among some constituents that didn't already have strong feelings about it.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C., a contributor to GetReligion.org. We will post links to everything she's written about this at our website tonight, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Molly, thank you very much for your time and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to start a series that's based on our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February called Pastors and Elders, a three-part series, part one on the other side of the break with Pastor Timothy Meck. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. What is the authority in the church? Is the pastor the authority? Or the lay elders the authority? Or is there another authority to which both answer? If the goal here is to care for the flock of God, to care for the sheep, and also for the congregation to care for its shepherd, how is this best done? We're going to start a three-part series on pastors and elders with Pastor Timothy Meck right on the other side of the break. It's Tuesday afternoon, February the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A movie worth seeing.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Now that the Iowa caucuses are behind us, what is the winner from 4 years ago, Mike Huckabee, doing now? Governor Huckabee stays as busy as ever working for causes that are important to him. One of his latest projects is the production of a pro-life film called The Gift of Life. In it, Huckabee showcases some incredible and inspiring stories that everyone should see for themselves. He also introduces us to some of the unsung heroes of the pro-life movement. You can check out the film for yourself at thegiftoflifemovie.com. That's thegiftoflifemovie.com.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.